Shaitan doesn't care about the enemies of Allah. He doesn't care if they're united. In fact, he loves it when they're united. But Shaitan doesn't like it when the believers are united. So he keeps on trying to cause dissent among them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Shaitan is trying to cause disunity among them. So Allah is warning us that Shaitan is out there to get you, to cause disunity among you. But if you are strong on your iman, Allah Azza wa Jalla will not give Shaitan sultan over you. And you find that the believers who reach that level have so much love for al-mu'mineen. They just love the believers. They're willing to die for their brothers. They're willing to give up the entire world for the brothers. And that is one of the attributes of a Ta'if al-Mansura also. This victorious sect, Allah describes them in Quran, أَذِلَّ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They're very humble and kind with the believers. أَعِزَّ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And they're very stern and harsh with the enemy of Allah. While it's a sign of nifaq to hate the Muslims and to always criticize them and to always praise the disbelievers. That's a sickness in the heart. If we feel love towards the disbelievers and you feel some repulsion from the believers, you don't like the way they dress, you don't like the way they look, you don't like the way they act, that's not a good sign. Because that could be a sign of nifaq. You should not like wrong, regardless of who's doing it, even if it's a believer, but you should love the person because of his iman. You should love the person because he wants to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. So if he dresses in a certain way and looks in a certain way, because he wants to be like Rasulullah, that is something that you should love. Because Rasulullah says, Al-mar'u ma'a min ahab, you will be with the ones whom you love. If you love the disbelievers, you will be with them on the Day of Judgment. If you love the believers, you will be with them on the Day of Judgment. 9. No effort is wasted.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا.
Nothing is wasted. Because sometimes you feel that your effort is not paying off. You know, I am manning this da'wah table and we're giving out da'wah material. Nobody is responding. People are not interested. I've been here for days, nobody became Muslim. You know, I feel that I'm wasting my time. Or I'm giving this brother nasiha, he doesn't want to listen. You need to keep in mind that none of your effort is wasted. And you have to keep in mind that success is not about numbers. Success is not quantity. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says, I've seen on the Day of Judgment a prophet with 10 followers, a prophet with 5 followers, a prophet with 2 followers, a prophet with 1 follower, and a prophet with no followers at all. So it means that this prophet was making da'wah for all of his life, no one responded to his da'wah, so he comes on the Day of Judgment alone. Did this prophet fail? He succeeded, even though nobody believed in him, because he did what he had to do. So you continue with your work, and be assured that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not waste your effort. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah will pay you back more than what you did. 10. Protection from shaitan.
إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ.
No authority has he over those who believe and put their trust in their Lord. Put your trust in your Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you from shaitan. And in the hadith that we mentioned in Khutbat al-Jum'ah, we talked about how Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you from shaitan when you go to sleep because you recite that ayat al-Kursi. So the mu'min, you know, when we say a mu'min, it's because the mu'min is using the weapons that Allah has given him. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim is a sword. The dhikr of Allah is a sword. Ayat al-Kursi is a sword against Shaitan. So when you use all of these arms that Allah has provided you with, it protects you from shaitan. He has no control over you. While with the kuffar, إِنَّا رَسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا. The shayateen are in full control of al-kuffar, herding them like cattle. By the way, with a lot of the things that are happening around us, and with the enemies of Allah fighting the ummah, some of their decisions, believe it or not, are made by shaitan. You shouldn't necessarily assume that there's this separation between shaitan and his followers. The imam of the camp of evil is Iblis. And we know that there is shayateen al-jinn and there's shayateen al-ins. It's in Quran and Sunnah. That there are shayateen among the jinn and there are shayateen among al-ins. يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ ضُرُورًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Quran that they reveal to each other. So it goes both ways. So shaitan reveals to them and they reveal to shaitan. So shaitan can benefit from some human beings. Some human beings, believe it or not, can teach shaitan. This joke, I'm not going to mention the name, it's a joke that was made on a president of an Arab government. It says that shaitan came to this president and was whispering to this president his plan. So shaitan is whispering to the president his plan. So now this president is responding back to shaitan, giving him another plan. So he whispers in the ear of Iblis his plan. So Iblis looks around and says, ittaqillah, fear Allah. So the plan was so bad that even shaitan couldn't swallow it. So, but it happens that, like for example, when Iblis came to Mecca, when they were making shura on how to deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was Abu Jahl who gave the right opinion that shaitan, Iblis, accepted. So Abu Jahl was so good and evil that even shaitan would go along with his opinion. So you need protection from the shayateen. You need protection from them. And only Allah Azza wa Jal can give you that protection. Wallahi, yani ikhwa, sometimes you feel very sad that the Muslims are asleep. They don't realize what's going on around them. Brothers and sisters, there's a great conspiracy against Islam. There is a conspiracy against the religion. There are attempts by the enemy of Allah to make you follow a watered down religion, and they're spending lots of money and lots of effort for that purpose. And they're not going to do it by their own people. They're going to use Muslims to do it for them. They're going to use the fifth column among us, al-munafiqoon, to do that. And some of these munafiqeen could be men of knowledge. So you have to be very aware. Just follow shaitan. You don't have to learn this from the media or go to these conspiracy books. It is right there in Quran. Look at the worst statements you find by the enemies of Allah, quoted in the media. The worst that they say. And then remember when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. Hatred has appeared from their mouths, but what their hearts conceal is greater. All of these statements are just the tip of the iceberg. You haven't seen anything. Believe it when Allah Azza wa Jalla tells you in Quran, وَإِن كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says they are plotting against you, and their plotting is sufficient to move mountains out of their place. The plotting is so bad. مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. So we have to wake up. The problem is that we are put to sleep by the enemies of Allah. 11. Allah will give you steadfastness. You need this because your breath will, you will have a short breath. You wouldn't be able to cope with what's coming. There's a lot of trials waiting for you if you're a believer. You should expect that. So you need to have thabat. And this issue of thabat was so concerning even to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُود. Surah Hud made my hair gray. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that this surah concerned me so much that it changed the color of my hair. What was the ayah in Hud? فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Stay on the straight path. as you were commanded. It's very easy to be on the straight path in this moment. But will you have the consistency to remain on it for years and years and years without diverting one way or the other? So Rasulullah ﷺ used to make the dua again and again. Ya muqallib al-qulubi wal-absar, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. O the one who overturns the hearts, make our hearts steadfast on your religion. Because the word qalb in Arabic comes from taqallab, something that turns upside down. If you have water boiling in a container, when water boils, the bottom goes to the top, and then the top goes to the bottom, and the circle continues. So it's going up and down. تَقَلَّبَ الْمَاءَ فِي الْقِدْرِ. And that was the name given to the heart. Hearts can flip. They can change. If you want to see a crude manifestation of that, just look at your children when they're young. They could be crying, you tickle them, they suddenly laugh. So they could go from being sad to happy in the spur of a moment. So the heart can change. And we need to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us thabat. And that is something that Allah promised the believers. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah will establish in strength. Allah will give steadfastness to those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. But Allah will leave to stray those who do wrong. Allah does what He will. يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى دِينِكَ. 12. What's the most important part of a story? The beginning or the middle of the or the end? The end. The end is the most important. And Allah promises the believers with a good ending. The beginning might be sour, but the end is good. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ طُوبَ لَهُمْ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. For those who believe and work righteousness is every blessedness and a beautiful place of final return. The end belongs to the believer.
إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
The earth belongs to Allah, and Allah will give it to whomever He wills, and the end belongs to al-muttaqeen. So Allah will give the believers a good ending. Don't worry about what's happening now. Think long term. Plan ahead. And be assured that the end belongs to you if you are a believer. That was number... So now it's 12. Next point is 12. 13. Allah will save you. In this world, imagine that you are in a ocean, in the middle of a storm, high waves, windy, cold, and you're in a boat. See, that's the ultimate image of desire for delivery. This is even used by Allah in Quran. Allah says about the mushrikeen that when they're in the sea and the waves are pushing them and they realize that there is no one who could save them then but Allah, whose name do they invoke? They invoke the name of Allah. But as soon as they are delivered to safety, they go back to their shirk. An experiment was done on non-Muslims, Christians. And they were asked, when you're in deep trouble, whose name do you invoke? Do you invoke the name of Mary? Do you invoke the name of Jesus? Or do you say, save me, Lord? Save me, God. Naturally, the human being in that moment would go back to the fitrah and would ask Allah Azza wa Jal. But as soon as they would be delivered to safety, they would go back to shirk again. To be saved, you need to believe and Allah Azza wa Jal will deliver you to safety. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
In the end, we deliver our messengers and those who believe. Thus is it fitting on our part that we should deliver those who believe. With al-mushrikeen in Mecca, when they're in deep trouble, they wouldn't invoke the name of Hubal or Lat or Al-Uzza, because they know, you know, when they're in that difficulty, the veils of darkness are lifted and they come to terms with what they already know, that these are stones and rocks and they can do us no good. And somebody who believes that Jesus is his Lord, how could he ask Jesus to save him from that trouble when Jesus himself was crucified on the cross and couldn't do anything for himself, according to their belief? In fact, according to the Bible, he made the statement on the cross, "Oh God, how come you have forsaken me?" But Yunus alayhi salam, who was in deep trouble, and as far as we know, apparently no one was ever in trouble as he was. He was in the stomach of a fish, under three layers of darkness. The darkness of the stomach of the fish, the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the sea. Yunus alayhi salam, as it says in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he fell unconscious when he was swallowed by the whale. And when he woke up, maybe he initially thought that he's in his grave. But as soon as he would touch around him, he would come to realize that he's in the stomach of a fish. Now, my brothers and sisters, the stomach of a fish is not a very comfortable place to be in. It's not a five-star hotel. Stomach of a fish is designed to do one thing, and that is to digest food. And for those of you who know about fish, the most powerful stomachs are those of fish. Because the fish doesn't even have to chew its food. It just swallows it whole. And the digestive enzymes are so powerful and strong, you can give this sardine a few minutes in the stomach of the fish and it will melt. It will just dissolve. The enzymes are so powerful that the flesh just dissolves. It falls apart. And you're left with a bone. And that was exactly what was happening to Sayyidina Yunus. His skin was peeling off. And the enzymes were hitting his muscles, his flesh. And it was burning him. Because it's saved and delivered to the shore. وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينَ, that Allah grew a plant of yaqteen over Yunus. How come? It is to protect him from the light, because now he's without skin. And the light would burn his flesh. So Allah made that plant grow over his body until his skin can grow back again. So Yunus was in a very difficult situation. He knew that only Allah could deliver him from that danger. So what did he do? He made sujood to Allah. And he said, "Oh Allah, I'm making sujood to you in a place where no one has ever made sujood to you before." And then he said,
"La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin."
Oh Allah, there's no God but you. Glory be to you, I have wronged myself. I've committed wrong. The dhikr of Allah is light. Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith that the angels see the halaqa of dhikr on this world like you would see a star in the heavens. So that dhikr of Yunus, even though it was coming from the depth of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, it was like a beam of light in the heavens and the angels could see it. Yunus had some very good connections. He had the best lawyers. Who were the lawyers for Yunus alayhi salam? They weren't from London or from Washington DC or from places where you have the best lawyers. These lawyers were the angels of Allah. He had some very good connections. Yunus wasn't necessarily known among the people of dunya. But the angels knew him and they knew him very well. Why? Because of his dhikr of Allah before. Because of his amal salih before, the angels were familiar with him. They would always see this light coming from Yunus alayhi salam, so they knew him very well. So they went, the angels went and appealed for him with Allah. The angels went to Allah and said, "Oh Allah, is this the sound of your servant Yunus?" Allah said, "Yes." The angels said, "Aren't you going to have mercy on him?" So the angels were interceding. They were appealing on behalf of Yunus alayhi salam. He didn't have money to pay a lawyer, but he had the angels on his side, and they went and interceded with Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Yes, I'm going to have mercy on him." And Allah tells us the reason why. Allah says,
فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ.
If it wasn't because Yunus used to make the tasbih before, he would have remained in the stomach of the whale until the Day of Judgment. Because of the iman of Yunus alayhi salam, because of his track record, because of his good deeds, that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla helped him in that difficult moment. Be mindful of Allah, Allah will be mindful of you. Get to know Allah in moments of ease, Allah will know you in moments of difficulty. And memorize this dua. The dua of Yunus is so powerful. Allah mentions it in Quran.
La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin.
And this dua saved Yunus alayhi salam. One of the Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, is this dua special for Yunus? Or it's for every believer?" Rasulullah ﷺ said, "No, this dua is for every believer. Don't you see that after Allah mentioned the dua, Allah said,
وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
And thus we save the believers. So this dua is not only going to work for Yunus, it's going to work for every one of you. When you're in trouble, say, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. And comprehend its meaning. Oh Allah, there is no God but you. In other words, no one can help me but you. Glory be to you. I have wronged myself. So you need to admit your guilt. And Allah loves it when you humble yourself. 14. Allah will guide you. I might say that this is contradicting. You're already believing, so you're already guided. How come you need guidance? Well, the thing is that even if you're a believer, you still badly need the guidance of Allah. In fact, so your need for hidayah is so great that the only dua that is mandatory for you to repeat is
اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ.
Your salah is invalid without it. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. Even though you're muhtadi, and you're praying, you still need to ask Allah 17 times in Salat al-Fard and many more times in Salat al-Nafil. You need to ask Allah to guide you. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ.
Those who believe and work righteousness, their Lord will guide them because of their faith. Through your faith, Allah will guide you. 15. Blessings. Allah will bless you.
وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ.
If the people of the towns had but believed and feared Allah, we should indeed have opened out to them all kinds of blessings from heaven and earth, but they rejected the truth, and we brought to them to book for their misdeeds. Allah is promising the people, if they believe, barakat. But this is more of a collective effort. Now, when we believe, we shouldn't believe for blessings in dunya. Rasulullah ﷺ would not promise the Sahaba dunya. When the Ansar came to Rasulullah, and Rasulullah said, "I want from you to protect me like you protect your wealth and your family," the Ansar said, "This is our duty.
what is your part of the bargain? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Jannah. I can promise you nothing but Jannah. I'm not going to promise you government. I'm not going to promise you wealth. I can only promise you Jannah. So when we work, Islamic work, we should do it for the sake of Allah and getting the reward of Allah in Akhirah. But Allah tells us that if this earth has sins, the sins take away the barakah. And if there's iman, it would bring the barakah. When will this earth be ruled by Islam? In the time of who? Isa alayhi salam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there is so much barakah in those days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the milk coming from a cow will be enough for an entire tribe. And one fruit will be enough for a clan. Just one fruit will be so big, it will be enough for a clan. And there is so much barakah on earth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَوْ أَلْقَيْتَ حَبَّكَ عَلَى الصَّفَى لَنَبَتَتْ. If you throw a seed on a solid bedrock, it would grow. Just throw it on a rock, and it would grow. That's how much barakah and blessings there is in land. Why? Because the world is governed by Islam. But because of the dhulm, the barakah is taken out. It's taken away. 16. Peace and security. Everyone claims that they want to bring peace to the world. And we see the big liars coming on TV today and saying that we're going to promise these people peace, and we're going to free them from their misery, and we're going to give them a better life. Empty lies. Only Allah can give you peace. And Allah Azza wa Jal will give the believers amen. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. It is those who believe and confuse not their beliefs with wrong, truly in security, for they are on right guidance. And again, in the time of Isa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَيُهْلِكُ اللَّهُ الْمِلَلَ كُلَّهَا فِي زَمَنِهِ إِلَّا الْإِسْلَامِ وَتَنْزِلُ الْأَمَنَةَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and all religions will perish in his time except for Islam. And peace will descend on land. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that lions will play with camels, and tigers will play with cows, and wolves will play with sheep, and children will play with snakes, and nobody is harmed. So the peace will transcend and go beyond humans, even to the animal world. Not only does Islam benefit the life of man, but it even benefits what they call the ecosystem. Everybody's now talking about the environment. Peace surrounds the entire planet. Lions are going to be so happy and so well fed that they could play with camels. Children can play around with snakes. I mean, how much fun would it be for our children to play with snakes? I'm sure that all of our kids would want to do that now, but it's too dangerous. I mean, to play with a snake, I think it's a lot of fun, especially for kids. But they wouldn't be able to do that until the time of Isa. Amana, tinzul al-amana ta'ala al. Peace will come down on earth. 17. Forgiveness. Allah will forgive you. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم.
To those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, has Allah promised forgiveness. Number 18. Allah will pay you in full. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُوَفِّيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. As to those who believe and work righteousness, Allah will pay them in full their reward, but Allah loves not those who do wrong. 19. No fear and no grief. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve.
Disbelievers have the upper hand, then what are the implications of that? There's a problem with our iman. That's the only way you can explain it. Same thing with number 22. Allah will protect the believers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ.
Verily Allah will defend from ill those who believe. Verily Allah loves not any that is a traitor to faith or shows ingratitude.
Allah Azza wa Jalla will protect His religion. And Allah will preserve Qur'an. And as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there will be a ta'ifa of my ummah who are carrying the banner of truth until the Day of Judgment. They will never cease to exist. So don't worry about the safety of Islam. It's going to happen with you or without you. What you should be concerned with is whether you will play a role or not. You should be concerned on whether you would have a share in that or not. Because the religion really doesn't need you. You are the one who needs it. This religion is protected whether you work for it or you don't. Allah is the one who granted this protection. وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. If you retreat, you turn your back to this religion, Allah will bring some other people who will carry it. So we should be very concerned on our role, not necessarily the safety of the religion. What will I do? What can I give? 23, a good life. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون.
Whoever works righteousness, man or woman, and has faith, verily to him will we give a new life, a life that is good and pure.
So brothers, the believers have a very good life. And don't be fooled by what you see. Because sometimes what you see is not what you get. Sometimes you could see this wealthy disbeliever who has dunya under his hands and he seems to be very happy. But you don't really know what's going on inside. And he doesn't really know what the believers are feeling because he never felt it. So he feels happy with what he has. He doesn't know that there's something much better than what he has. Ibn Taymiyyah says, if the kings know the happiness and pleasure that we have, they would try to take it away from us by the tip of their sword. But they never experienced it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. If you turn away from the remembrance of Allah, you will have a very distressful life, a life of despair. Be assured that anybody who is not on the path of the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, on the true path, is having a life of misery, even if you think otherwise, and even if he thinks otherwise. While the believers, who are apparently going through suffering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them some feeling in their heart that could not be bought with the wealth of this dunya. Look at Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah says, if my enemy throws me in jail, that is a chance for me to make dhikr of Allah. If my enemy drives me out of my land, that is siyaha fi sabilillah. I will make contemplation in my travel. If my enemy kills me, then killing me is shahada. So what can my enemy do with me? Because I carry my Jannah in my heart. My Jannah is right here inside my heart. They can't take it away from me. They could do with this body whatever they want, but they can't take away my Jannah because it's given to me by Allah. Allah gives them, subhanAllah, because the believer needs help. So for example, with the Sahabi of Rasulullah ﷺ who was captured by the enemy, by Quraysh, and they wanted to execute him, Allah Azza wa Jal was giving him a karama. His captive would say, the woman who was guarding him, she would say that I would see with him fruit of winter and summer, and the fruit of summer and winter. He would get fruits from Jannah. Because of the difficulty that they're going through and the patience that they show, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a secret in the heart that only them can experience, and something that is cannot be described with words. You know, we can talk about it, but we cannot really taste it. Allah gives that to the believers. Allah promised you with a good life. حياتة طيبة. And finally, number 25, establishment.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ.
Allah has promised to those among you who believe and work righteous deeds that He will of a surety grant them in the land inheritance of power as He granted it to those before them, that He will establish in authority their religion, the one which He has chosen for them, and that He will change their state after the fear in which they lived to one of security and peace. They will worship Me alone and not associate aught with Me. If any do reject faith after this, they are rebellious and wicked. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَالِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ أَنَّ مُلْكَ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah has brought the whole earth in front of my eyes, and He told me that the kingdom of my ummah will reach to all of it. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. O Allah, we ask You to make us of the believers, and we ask You to give us the 25 promises that You promised the believers. O Allah Azza wa Jal, we ask You to make us of the believers, to forgive our sins, to accept our tawbah. We seek refuge in You from hellfire. O Allah, we ask You Jannah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.